Today on Real Radio.
It is my prayer, okay, to really upset you by praying, Lord, stir up this church. Make us so uncomfortable with our complacency that we wind up looking in the mirror as a church corporately and just get kind of sick to our stomachs and not be content until we are spent, poured out, fully committed to what the Lord would have us to do. And we will not know what that is unless we're living this Spirit-filled Christian life.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Paul's letter to the Ephesians. We're in chapter 5 and focusing on a particular verse, verse 18. It's a double command that we are not to be drunk or under the influence of any abused substance for that matter, but rather to be filled with God's Holy Spirit. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Living the Spirit-Filled Life.
How can I have a Spirit-filled life? Isn't my life already Spirit-filled if I'm a Christian? Well, the answer to that is absolutely not. That comes to a shock to many people. Well, isn't my name written down in heaven? Yeah, it sure is. If I die, will I go to be with the Lord? Yeah, you sure will. Well, don't I have a Spirit-filled life? No, the Bible says not necessarily. There are many Christians who are just content to be saved and just be, you know, the pew potato that many Christians are. It's, hey, I'm saved. My name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm just going to maintain. And there are a lot of people like that. In fact, it's sad to say most Christians are like that. They're content. It is my prayer, okay, to really upset you by praying, Lord, stir up this church. Make us so uncomfortable with our complacency that we wind up looking in the mirror as a church corporately and just get kind of sick to our stomachs and not be content until we are spent, poured out, fully committed to what the Lord would have us to do. And we will not know what that is unless we're living the Spirit-filled Christian life. And so it's so vitally important. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, Paul told Tim, now to the Spirit, or the Spirit expressly says, that in the last days some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Do you believe in demons? Do you believe in Satan? Do you believe in demonic activity? The Bible says that in the last days there will be not only demonic activity, but there will be those teaching doctrines that have been delivered to people via demonic spirits. Now, how are you going to know what is of a demonic source or not? The Bible teaches us that it's by the filling of the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit of God that will give us discernment. It's the Spirit of God that gives us understanding. But it will also be the Spirit-filled life that will give us the power to respond to such things. Again, in 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 through 5, the Bible says, know this, or understand it, that in the last days perilous times will come. We're living in them now. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, and unloving, unforgiving. They'll be slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong. What a list, huh? Haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. That is, they go to church. The people just listed in 2 Timothy 3 go to church. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. And that power that Paul is talking about is the power and the Spirit-filled life of the Holy Spirit in our lives. In the very opening message of the gospel, we take this for granted, but in the very opening message of the gospel that we read in our Bibles, the Bible says, for example, in Mark 1, verse 8, John the Baptist speaking, he says, "For I indeed have baptized you with water, but Jesus, he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit." What does it mean to be baptized by the Holy Spirit? And is every believer who is baptized with the Holy Spirit, are they also filled with the Holy Spirit? I want you to know tonight, if you agree with this or not, you need to write it down, because it is a biblical fact and doctrine that being baptized by the Holy Spirit and being baptized in the Holy Spirit are absolutely two different events that God has for us. Now, many of us have been taught differently, and that's unfortunate. We're going to look at what I like to consider tonight the 11th commandment. If the Ten Commandments were given to give us the understanding that we need God, you know that's what they're all about, the Big Ten. It's to show us that we need God. Then I would like to introduce to you tonight the 11th commandment, which is found in chapter 5, verse 18, which is what we're looking at, when Paul says, "Do not be drunk with wine, wherein which there is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." And this is a commandment, by the way. And we're going to look at it closely in the Greek language. It is a commandment. When he says be filled, the word means filled to be replete or to be crammed, overflowing like a net or like a bucket that's being filled up. Leveled off to overflowing is what the word means. To be furnished to the point of absolute satisfaction. That little word, pleru. Our word in the English is filled. But we are to be filled. And we're going to go through this systematically. And it's very important that we understand that every one of us tonight need to be Christians who are Spirit-filled and walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. And don't assume that you are. I would be wrong to assume that I am walking in the power of the Holy Spirit just because I'm saved. It's very, very important. It's so very important. John's testimony regarding Jesus' baptism. Listen, in Mark 1, I said it a moment ago, but listen, beginning at verse 5 this time, it says there, "And all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to see him," that is to see John, "and were all baptized of him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey." What a guy. He was radical, no doubt. "And he preached, saying, 'There comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal straps I am not worthy to stoop down and loose. I indeed baptize you with water, but listen again, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.'" Now, what was John's ministry? The baptism of repentance, and it was done with water. Jesus didn't baptize people in water. What did Jesus baptize them in? The Holy Spirit. Does that mean that John's baptism was of no use? No, absolutely not. It was a fantastic baptism. In fact, it was biblical. And in fact, it is still practiced today. And we'll do it this summer, as soon as it stops raining. Baptism into water is very important by outward identification. Baptism into the Holy Spirit or by the Holy Spirit is very important internally. It changes our lives as believers. And we'll see how this is true this evening. This filling, or you might want to jot it down, this filling or baptism, both terms are used in the Bible, are they different from each other? Is the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Holy Spirit the same thing? First of all, note this and jot it down. First thing we want to see is that as Christians, we are birthed, or the birthing of our spiritual life into the family of God is mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12:13. Now jot this down, it's vitally important. In 1 Corinthians 12:13, it says, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Greeks, whether we be slaves or free, for all have been made to drink into one Spirit." The moment you accept Jesus Christ, you are, by the Holy Spirit, listen, baptized into the body. That is the body of Christ, which is one. If I would have been thinking tonight, I would have brought a pitcher of water and a cup and really demonstrated this to you, because the meanings of the words are exactly that. That we can be like a cup and the pitcher can be next to us full of water. But we need to be immersed into that pitcher. Now, in 1 Corinthians 12, the Christian, the moment the Christian comes to faith, or I should say the sinner comes to Christ, by the Holy Spirit Himself, please note this, the Holy Spirit Himself baptizes us into the body of Christ. He does it. Who? The Holy Spirit. We've got the baptism of John. He uses the elements of water. We've got the baptism that the Spirit performs, who baptizes us into the body of Christ. That is how we become members, by the way. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but if you're a member of a church, now, I don't want to freak you out, but why? What? You know how much I had to go through to become a member of the First Church of the Cadoodle Hopper down the street, whatever, thingy bopper? You know what I had? I had to go through 12 months of classes to become a member. I'm just asking you this question. There's only one membership mentioned in the Bible. And that is, when the Holy Spirit puts you in the body of Christ, we become members one of another. One, in Christ. Now, I know that you can become a member. If you want to become a member here, we'll take your name and put it down on a piece of paper. We don't know where that piece of paper is going to go. But the important thing is that the Holy Spirit comes inside you and that you're a member of the body of Christ. Well, shouldn't I be a member of the Methodist Church or the Baptist Church or Calvary Chapel or whatever? I don't know. Why? Well, that's the rules that they've made. Exactly. That's the rules that men have made. I just want you to understand tonight that if you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit Himself has baptized you into the body of Jesus Christ. There's the baptism of John that's in water. There's the baptism of the Spirit that's into the body. But we're talking tonight about the baptism of Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit. It's the baptism that He performs, Jesus. And a lot of us have missed this in our Christian life. Three essential baptisms mentioned in Scripture, and we'll look at them earlier or later on. For now, we want to look at this, the three activities of the Holy Spirit. You know this if you've been around here for a while. Jesus says that the Holy Spirit has been with you, that is alongside you. The word is para, P-A-R-A. He's been alongside you. When the Holy Spirit comes inside you, He's been with you, para, inside. It is a whole different word that's used in the Bible. In fact, when the Scripture says that they received the Holy Spirit, that is the word en in Greek. He moves inside them. So the Holy Spirit dwells alongside you. Then the Holy Spirit comes inside you, beside you, inside you, and then there's the experience that's mentioned in the Greek. It is the word epi, or epi. And that is when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And by the way, only and exclusively throughout the Bible, the Holy Spirit comes upon those who are already believers, those who are already indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Do you understand? That's very important. Now, this is what the Bible teaches. Unfortunately, many churches don't teach this. But when 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, "For by one Spirit we have been baptized," the word baptized is the word baptizo, and it means to be immersed fully, to be completely submerged. Now, some of you might have been sprinkled, and that's fine, I guess. But biblically, when you baptize somebody, the word that's used in the Bible, that when John baptized Jesus, or, you know, when somebody was baptized, the word is immersed. They were submerged. Why? Because it's a symbol of death and resurrection. Water baptism is. That's what John's ministry was all about. John preached repentance from sin. If you repented from your sin, you were then to come forward into the Jordan River and to be baptized, that is, going underwater and coming up as a public testimony that you have confessed your sins and accepted Christ, and now you are displaying to the world that you're identifying with the message of Christ. That's what water baptism is all about. But it's only to be done, that is, water baptism is only to be done for the remission of sins. That's what the Scripture teaches. And that word remission means that you make a logical decision to turn from your sin. You have to logically be thinking, I'm turning from my ways. That's why when some parents will come to me at baptism time, and they'll say, you know, can you baptize Junior? I'll ask them, does Junior understand what baptism is about? Well, I don't know. I just want him to be baptized. And I'll tell the parent, do you understand that this might do more damage than good? Well, how can that be? Because you will remind him as he grows up, you were baptized, you were baptized, you were baptized. And he'll often, listen, you know this is true. Many times people will trust in the fact that they were baptized rather than making a decision to follow Christ. I've met people sharing the Lord, well, especially down in Orange County, down at the beach. I've had people say, hey, I went forward at Calvary Costa Mesa. I'm saved. And they're drinking and drunk or partying or whatever. And they're trusting in the fact that they went forward. There are a lot of people trusting in the fact that they were baptized. Well, I was baptized, so I must be going to heaven. That's not true. You are first to be converted, then be baptized into water. But you should never be baptized and then seek conversion. No. It's to be placed into the body of Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God, just as baptism places us into the water, as in the baptism of John. I mentioned this verse to you last time, but it's so very important. I personally believe, this is my personal opinion, that as the New Testament was unfolding, Jesus Christ introduced the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in John chapter 20, verse 19. The indwelling. It says, then on the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled together for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst of them. This is after his resurrection. And he said to them, "Peace be with you." Now when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw that it was the Lord. So Jesus said to them, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he said this, Jesus breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Now note this. Everybody, is everybody awake? This is so important. This was before the ascension of Jesus Christ, but it's after his resurrection. He supernaturally appears to the disciples, and he's talking to them, and he says, "Peace be unto you." And they said, "Great, we need it." And he says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And he breathed on them. He went, not like Benny Hinn does it. Jesus did it for realsies. And there's no manifestation of anything going on. He just introduces for the first time in Scripture. After the resurrection, Jesus says to the disciples, receive the Holy Spirit. And he breathed on them. Now, what do you think happened at that point in time? I believe at that moment they were converted. In fact, prior to this, Jesus tells Peter, remember, after you are converted, strengthen your brethren. And guess what happens after John chapter 20? Peter starts strengthening his brethren. It's at this point, I believe, in John chapter 20, verses 19 to 22, that the first of the believers were born again by the Spirit of God. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4, the Bible says there was one body, one Spirit, even as you are called into one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And he must have been from Dallas, Paul was. Well, Jack, it just said one baptism. What are you talking about these various baptisms about? No, the context of Ephesians 4 is that it is unity. There's one God. Well, he's manifested in three persons, but he's one God. There's one baptism. It comes from God. You just need to know, in its context, the baptism that is necessary for our Christian growth. There's one baptism. There's one body. There's one Spirit. And it's to be for the unification of the body. But this is very important because in relation to Ephesians 5:18, this is absolutely revolutionary to our Christian walk if we'll listen carefully. And simply, at the end of this service, simply, from this day forward, understand that we need to be constantly filled again with the power of the Holy Spirit. And you'll know those who are and those who are not. Our need to be refilled, or if you want to call it, rebaptized in the Spirit is essential. It's taught here in verse 18. He says, do not be drunk with wine. Now that's weird, and we talked about it before. He says, don't be under the influence of wine because it runs out. It weakens. Don't fiddle with it. It's worthless. It's stupid. And when you are under its influence momentarily, you lose self-control. But if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, as he says here, be filled with the Spirit, what's going to happen to you? Are you going to lose control? Well, it all depends on what background you've been introduced to.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Living the Spirit-Filled Life, a study taken from Ephesians 5:18. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio with more. Now remember that a week from this Friday, it's the Southern California Prophecy Conference that gets underway here at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills. That's February 20th, 21st, and 22nd. The Southern California Prophecy Conference. And remember, there's no registration fee. We've taken the unprecedented step of waiving that cost simply because we want to get the information into your hands. And if you'd like to find out more, visit SoCalProphecyConference.com. Just a visit to SoCalProphecyConference.com. You'll quickly learn that had we not waived the registration fee, it would still be worth it. SoCalProphecyConference.com. You'll see a lineup of all the conference's contributors. You can also call us toll-free if you'd like, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills in Southern California and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.